EXO Takeover.
Welcome back, guys, to a brand new episode of EXO Takeover. We are keeping it going, season three, keeping it strong, and we are joined by another returning guest, Stargirl Holly. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Hey, EXO, I'm back.
So you are the only person to have been on all three seasons now.
Wow, what an achievement that is.
So, but for those who may not know you, do you want to give a quick introduction?
Yeah, so my name is Stargirl Holly. I mainly post on Instagram, but I'm also on TikTok. I'm a content creator for The Weeknd, and it's just truly a passion of mine and a hobby to connect with other EXOs and make funny videos and embarrass myself, because why not, you know, be a part of the EXO fan base and just show my love and the outpour I have for this community and The Weeknd.
The one that made me laugh that you've done recently is that one you sent me of you just screaming.
I know. So yeah, when I post concert videos, I get extra crazy and I let the wild side go out because The Weeknd's like right there and my body just can't, it doesn't know how to react.
We'll get into the tour a bit later on.
Yeah.
But I want to, you know, as you know, EXO Takeover, few questions, then we've got the new segment, and then obviously in traditional style, five EXO songs. But I want to kick it off with Hurry Up Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Been out for a while now, and how do you interpret the message in Hurry Up Tomorrow as a whole?
Well, the message overall is just so deep, and there's so many ways that you can analyze the movie and the album together. It's truly a creative story. That's a journey that you go on as an EXO in this community. The message is so deep. I think everybody kind of interprets it in a different way. But for me, I see it as Abel's life journey, his whole story from birth to now, just showcasing all the change he's been through in life. He's been through some really dark, depressing eras, and he really showcases that in his music and connects with others who may experience the same thing, the same traumas. But in Hurry Up Tomorrow, it's kind of the light. It's the end of The Weeknd. He's becoming his true self, Abel again, and he's really just trying to show the beauty of wrapping up this whole, I don't know, man, like all these albums that he's put out coming together as one. And I really liked in the movie how it was kind of this push and pull of good and evil, where Jenna was kind of the good. She was not a real person, but she was trying to pull him out of that dark, depressing side that Barry was portraying. And so I really love that message in the movie. And I think Abel's probably the happiest he's ever been. I've seen him smile so much. And I think he's just so happy to have this album really solidify everything that he's been putting work into and who he is now.
That is an incredible answer.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's like,
blew you away. I blew you away.
So, you know, with EXO as a whole, we've got The Weeknd, the main man himself. We've got Nav, Cherry, Ellie. I think that's it for now. I don't know.
Yeah, not too many people on the label.
Yeah.
Right now.
How is EXO, the collective of EXO, how have they influenced your music taste?
Yeah, well, I used to really be into that rap, like 21 Savage, Migos, that type of rap, you know, coming out of the Atlanta, that's where I live. Since listening to EXO, I'm really guided toward that R&B style, kind of smooth, like kind of pop R&B. So I really like Bryson Tiller and Party Next Door, and also Brent Faiyaz. That's just kind of my vibe. And so I think EXO and The Weeknd, his style, as well as Nav and the others on the label, have influenced me to go more towards that way. I also really love Cherry. Since recording the last episode, I've been listening to her a lot, and I really, really do like her style of music, and her voice is so beautiful. So I've been kind of posting her songs here and there. I listened to her whole album, and I've been vibing out to those songs that she's been releasing. So I'm really happy to see her be the newcomer on the label, and she's doing really well. So hopefully we'll get to see a Cherry and The Weeknd collab soon. I don't know, we shall see. But yeah, they have really influenced my taste more towards that R&B style. And I'm glad for that because I love the artists that produce R&B songs. And that's just now my style now.
It's been great to, you know, we've had Cherry mentioned across a few episodes now. And it's so great to see her really start to grow as an artist. And, you know, we did technically have her feature on Hurry Up Tomorrow.
That's true, but it wasn't like a full collab where they were both singing together. I hope that one day we can see them, like, both sing on one song together.
I'm still really hoping that at some point we get an EXO album. I feel like that.
Yes, so true. We do need that. Like, come on, Abel. We're waiting.
Well, we need something. Or like even an EXO fest. That would be quite.
That would be dope. Like, put everybody together, meetups, collabs, content creation.
That would be an insane time. Abel, if you're watching this,
You know what to do.
come on, put something together.
No, for real though.
With the weekend coming to an end, and if we look back on all the discography that we've had, from House of Balloons to Hurry Up Tomorrow, what song do you find yourself going back to the most?
Well, I have many that I keep going back to, but off the new album, Cry For Me, for sure. That song, you always have something going off in the background. Last episode you did too. I was like, huh? But anyways, Cry For Me, for sure, off the new album. It just brings a lot of adrenaline out of me and a lot of emotions that spike. Definitely relate to that song right now with what I'm going through. And I just really love the hype on it. He really put a lot of energy into that song, and you can feel it. Like, I can feel it. Girl, pick up your phone. I can't believe it. Hey. But yeah, that and also Opening Night off the new album. Like, one kind of took me for a surprise. After I kept listening to the album, I kept re-listening to Opening Night. I really like the connection of that song to the movie and the tour. And it's really smooth. So those are kind of the two off the new album that I keep going back to right now.
What about past this album?
Past, like, what do I keep listening to? Well, right now my focus has been on the new album, but I am listening to a lot of Kissland, honestly, because he is performing that on tour, so I've been going back to Kissland, reliving that era of The Weeknd, which was fabulous. So Tears in the Rain, Pretty, those songs kind of on my repeat as well.
Fair enough. I know that I think I've seen a post recently of the milestones each album a mixtape have received. Kissland still hasn't reached a billion. It's
It needs to. It deserves it. It's criminally underrated, that album. I mean, it's fabulous.
If you were to put another album at the bottom instead of Kissland in terms of the amount of streams, which album
I
would you put?
mean, I guess it's not technically an album, but I would put My Dear Melancholy under Kissland.
Okay. Why? Is that just because of in terms of track length or?
Yeah, it's like it's short. I just feel like, I don't know, Kissland's a little bit better. I love My Dear Melancholy though, but it is a really sad and slow, kind of depressing album. So I like Kissland a little bit better.
I
You don't
mean,
agree that it is sad and depressing?
you could say the same about
You
Kissland to
could
an
say the same
extent.
about Kissland, but it's not directly in your face like that. I feel like with My Dear Melancholy, it is like he's really into his emo boy era. But in Kissland, it's got a lot of diversity and complexity within it. Lots of interpretation, kind of like Hurry Up Tomorrow.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully in the coming weeks, Kissland will finally get that billion.
Hopefully. I'll keep streaming it. I'll keep streaming it. Get it up there.
People watching as well and listening, you keep streaming as
Keep
well. We need
streaming
to
Kissland.
get it to a billy
We
before
gotta
the end
get
of
it there.
the year. But I know that, we spoke about Abel collaborating and maybe doing an EXO album or an EXO fest. What collaborations would you like to see in the future, either with Abel or any of the other EXO
Yeah.
members?
I would say, like, you mean artists, right? I would say Lil Uzi Vert because they did EXO Tour Life and then they kind of dropped off. And I'm like, hello, that was fabulous. You need to run it back again. And also, he came out on the Lil Uzi came out on the Atlanta stop in 2017 when I was there and performed EXO Tour Life. And that was probably the best moment I've ever had on tour with The Weeknd. So they need to get back together and do something because I'm waiting. But also, like I mentioned before, Cherry and The Weeknd, I would love to see that. I just think they would make such a beautiful, male female duo song. And of course, gotta shout out one of my favorites, Bryson Tiller. Come on, they did Rambo together and again just dropped off. Like, come on, you can't just leave us hanging with one really good song. They need to do another. And then, I said this before, but Bruno Mars, come on, come on. Bruno and Abel, I feel like it would slap so hard. It would be a number one hit global if they did that. But
I swear you said this back in season one.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of that. That needs to happen, in my opinion. It has to happen before I die.
I don't know, I can see it, but at the same time, it's like.
See it.
Because.
Their tones and the way they sing match so good.
They're both at like different stages as well. Like,
That's true.
yeah, they both went through the sad, depressing era, but now Bruno Mars is like rapping about strippers and The Weeknd about God, and it's like, where's the
Yeah,
conflict?
but I just think they would make a phenomenal song. If they could get together on the same wavelength, they'd make a really good song together.
They'd make like a song about strippers and God or something.
It'd be crazy. It'd be a number one hit, I'm telling you.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see for that one.
Yeah.
I
Stay
feel
tuned, guys.
if that does happen, I can just imagine already you'd be on text and be like, guess who it's just dropped?
I'd be so hype. Oh my gosh.
Hurry up tomorrow. We've already mentioned you've mentioned a bit about the film.
Yeah.
And your thoughts on like some of the songs in comparison to the film. What about the criticism that the film received? What are your thoughts on, how do you think Abel has handled the criticism of this, going from the idol to this and still having
Right.
quite a bit of a negative impact?
He has faced quite a bit of criticism within his acting career, which I think is really unfortunate because people don't take it lightly on him. I mean, he's a singer, he's not an actor, and people really criticize him for not being perfect and being that superstar movie character. But I appreciate the way he's taken the criticism. He takes it lightly. He's a humble man. He really does show us humans how you should react when you're faced with criticism. Like, don't take it so seriously. Don't bring all the drama and negativity in it. I think he's an example for all of us as humans that we don't need to take the haters so seriously and don't give them all that energy and attention. He really just plays it off and, he does it for the fans. He did the movie for the fans. He did the idol for the fans, but also for himself to become an actor, and he's growing. He's growing, people. Just give him, a little bit of leniency. And he's trying to, become an actor. He wasn't an actor before. He was a singer. So I just feel like people, they need to take it more easy on him. But the way he handles it great. He doesn't let it get to him. He doesn't let it get him down from what I can see. Of course, we don't know behind the scenes how he's really feeling, but there's no need for excessive anger in this world and hatred, so I appreciate the way he's handled that.
Do you reckon he'll be able to build acting career legacy like he has with music? Do you reckon he'll be able to get to that point where people are less critical about it and more supportive, the same way with his music?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, he's still, in his 30s. He's not that old. He has a lot more life to live and room to star in different films and do more of his own. So he has a lot of room for growth and improvement. I think he can, if he really puts the effort into it, that he can be like a Hollywood star. But he does what he wants. That's not what he's aiming for in the end of things. He's just acting because it's his passion and he likes doing it. And so I support that. You don't have to become the biggest Hollywood star to make it known. You know what I'm saying? So I support him in whatever he does with acting, and I think he can go a long way, but of course, everybody has to grow and learn.
And, speaking of legacy, what kind of legacy do you think that Abel will leave behind once it's all said and done?
I mean, he's definitely a different type of artist from many. He's left this incredible story behind that you can just talk about for hours, if not days, because of just all the mentality he's put into crafting these stories on the albums and the individual songs that he does. I mean, the legacy he's left is amazing. I'm so proud of him, and I'm sure EXO can agree as well that we eat up all these stories and the storytelling and these teasers and all that he's done. So I really appreciate that. Also, he's just so humble as a person, right? So respectful, and everything that he does, And I appreciate that. He's a humanitarian, and not a lot of artists are really that way, to where, they appreciate their music, they give back to the fans, but they also give back to the greater community. I mean, he's headlining the Global Citizen Festival. How amazing is that? Like, let's go, Abel. I'm excited. I wish I could go. I don't know. I'll probably not be able to go, but shout out all the EXO that are gonna go and see that live. I mean, what a great cause that is, signing petitions and advocating for all these issues around the world. So, just so proud of him and the legacy that he's created and that he continues to go on with to this day.
I don't think he's left behind quite a big legacy in terms of, his humanitarian work and all the
Yeah.
donations he's given, to Gaza and to
Right.
Ethiopia and to the Black Lives Matter movements. It's that alone is an incredible legacy.
Right.
That really, he doesn't have to do that.
Right.
And the fact that he goes out of his way to do this and to show his support, that's already on top of
I
an
know.
incredible music career, hopefully an incredible acting career in the future.
Yeah, just so proud of him, honestly. Like, shout out EXO, shout out The Weeknd. What an amazing freaking fan base we have. And the artist behind it all is just an incredibly humble, awesome, nice person, too.
I'm very keen to see how it'll go at the Global Fest.
Me too.
Speaking of live festivals, you have seen the man himself once again.
Yes. Oh, it was fabulous. I mean, as y'all can see from the videos I've been posting, that I went crazy, as I should. I mean, as everybody should. But the visuals, I mean, I think they've certainly improved from the 2022 leg of the tour. I really just appreciate the depth he puts into everything he puts on stage. Like, nothing is random. I appreciate the city as it's crumbling down in the background, kind of showing the escape to his new life and new era. And the Stargirl dancers are back, looking better than ever. They kind of represent that mysterious struggle that's going on. Like I mentioned earlier, the good and the evil behind the forces of his previous bad life, and now his, he's trying to break free and become a better person of his good life. And Sor, how do you say the statue's name? Sor Maya? Is that how you say it?
Sayurama.
Sor, what?
Sayurama.
Toyorama? Yeah, her, which is gorgeous, by the way. The way it's just kind of portrayed in the middle of the stage, it's like golden and shiny. It's the future of his life and the lovers that he's been through as well. I love, like, on the tour when he goes up and he, like, just gently touches her and looks up. And he really puts into, like, his acting into the tour as well. So I appreciate that, how he engages with the whole stage, everything he's got on set, the lights, the wristbands. What an experience. And the fireworks at the end. I mean, wow, that blew me away when that just started happening during Moth to a Flame. I was like, I knew it was coming because I've been watching tour stuff, but to see it in person, I was like, that is a great way to end the show, especially with Moth to a Flame. I feel like that really fits together. So, thoroughly enjoyed the concert, hoping to go again here in Atlanta in just a couple days. So we shall see.
How do you think it compares to the previous tours? Because I know that in the past American tour, you didn't get the statue.
Yeah, we got the moon.
And you didn't get the Moth to a Flame at the end.
No. So
I
I
like
think, yeah, like
more
I
of.
said, it improved. I remember when he did the America leg and he went to Europe, I was so mad because the Europe leg was so much better. So I'm happy he came back and I got to experience that. Also love that he interacts with the crowd during At a Time and lets, a person sing. But I will say, I'm very salty because I was front row and I did not get that experience. So that kind of irks me a little bit. But it's okay. It's okay. I'll put it off. Like, whatever. But yeah, he's improving. He's really doing a great job, and I can only imagine how exhausting it is being on tour for this long, and he's just gonna continue. So proud of
Yeah.
him for pushing through that.
I mean, he's still got quite a few shows left to go.
I know.
I think it goes all the way up until September, if
Yeah.
correct. And then hopefully we get Europe next
Europe.
year. Hopefully.
Fingers
But
crossed.
the real question is, how does he develop from here? Like, From the start of this, we had just the moon and the city, then we had the moon, the city, the statue, and now we've got all the extra parts going out and the crumbles. What's it going to be like next?
Honestly, I can't even tell you, like, what is he gonna put on stage for Europe? Is it just gonna be the same thing? It can't be the same thing. He has to switch it up in some way. Also, love his outfit. Shout out all the sparkly things on his outfit. That really makes him, like, pop in the crowd. I love that. Like, his outfits always are just gorgeous and really fitting in with the themes. So I appreciate that too.
Do you reckon we'll get a new mask as well for Europe?
I feel like yes. Has to be, you know? Has to.
Has to. Has to. The
Right?
amount of masks that have been on these tours as well.
No, right?
It's
It's so funny.
just gonna become like, it's gonna get to a point where it's just a full on Daft Punk helmet or
No,
something.
for real. That'll be the Europe leg, right?
Obviously, only time can tell with these things, as with most things, but I, for one, will definitely be there for Europe. Who knows? Who knows when it'll be? But I'll be here waiting. I wanna end the questions with sort of like online presence. We're both content creators. How do you think Abel's presence online and rollout for this era have been in terms of, like, in comparison to past times as well?
I think it's been relatively good. I think I mentioned this in last season. I think it hasn't, like, when he was first coming out with the album and stuff, it hasn't been as spectacular, but I did really appreciate all the little, like, teasers of, like, Baby Abel. Like, those visuals were really great. Those really, I love that. That just really excited me when I saw, like, Baby Abel. Wow, Baby Abel. And also, Baby Abel is what got me posted on his story. Also, you can probably see the picture back there. There's me on the weekend story. There's
Yeah.
also a picture of me at the concert by a photographer, like, shout out him. But anyways, I appreciated that, but I don't think it's as been as dramatic or cinematic as previous eras, like Starboy and Donna Femme and After Hours. Those are really, like, thrilling and exciting. Not to discredit Hurry Up Tomorrow, it's just been a little bit different. But I do love how he's leaning into the tour visuals a lot and really leaning into this tour as, like, a guiding force. Really putting in the work into the all the photographers, shout out them. They're doing a phenomenal job, and he keeps, like, reposting that. So I appreciate that. Like, he's appreciating the work that's being done of the fans as they experience the tour. But also, Baby Abel, come on. That's been the best part of this whole teasing and era is Baby Abel, in my opinion. That's just the best part, Baby Abel.
Do you think we'll see more of Baby Abel?
I hope so. He can't just leave it off there because, hello, Anita was pregnant and she didn't give birth. So, like, theoretically, she's still gotta be pregnant. Like,
Maybe.
where did
Maybe.
Baby Abel go?
Well, was he not in the animated music videos?
Well, he was, but it's like there hasn't been a finality or a closing to Baby Abel yet, in my opinion. So I feel like he's gonna pop out of nowhere. Maybe he'll come out at the Europe tour. Baby Abel, special guest at the Europe tour. That would be crazy.
How would that even work?
I don't know. We don't know how Abel's mind works. He just comes up with things and we're like, whoa, didn't think of that.
Fair enough. Again, it's one of those things we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Baby Abel. Sorry, that is so goofy, but I love Baby Abel so
It's giving me like Mandalorian
much. Yeah.
Baby Yoda vibes.
No, it does. Yeah.
But in terms of questions, that is it. But before we get into our top five, it is time for the brand new segment, which is what I'm calling not a rip-off of Family Feud. There's six questions. Just give me the first answer that comes to your mind.
Gosh, I'm scared.
You're competing against all your special guests this season, and the winner will receive an EXO season three trophy, which do not have. But just imagine it's here.
Whoa.
We're getting it at some point. Just we don't know when.
Okay.
So there is a total of 60 points to be won, but you could end up with 6 points. So I'll go for the questions, just the first answer that comes to mind, and then We'll tally up
I'm
the.
so nervous.
Right, we'll start off with the first question. Name the best song by The Weeknd.
Angel.
Okay, name the best feature that The Weeknd has been on.
X with Tour Life with Little Uzi.
Was he on that song?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That's Little Uzi's song, and The Weeknd was. Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Hold on, hold on. I revoke, revoke. Because he technically really wasn't on that song. Best feature?
He's
I can't think of. I didn't. Because I want to say something, but it's not the best. You know what I'm saying? Hold on.
you
Best.
can't probably
I
Google.
know. Best feature is. Well. I don't even know if I can say that. I was gonna say when he sang on the song for the Hunger Games.
That's not a
That's not a
feature.
feature.
Bro.
Right, come on, okay, best feature is. See, this is hard because okay, yeah, Rambo with Bryson Tiller. There's my answer.
Okay, we're getting somewhere now.
Sorry, that one tripped me, bro.
Okay, name a song by The Weeknd with the letter beginning with W.
There's a song on
Song name with the beginning with W. Yeah.
Wake Me Up.
Okay. That was a nice, that was a bit quicker. Hang on, I'm missing some questions.
This is so stressful.
The name of the best projects by The Weeknd.
Trilogy.
Okay. Name the most underrated song
Underrated song, like of all time.
by The Weeknd.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Prisoner with Lana Del Rey.
And finally, name the worst song by The Weeknd.
Earned it. There's so
Okay.
much hate for that.
Right. How did you think you did?
I don't think I did very good because I tripped up on the answer with the feature. Because I don't know why, like, that threw me for a loop, but. Yeah, other than that, I think I did okay.
Honestly, I don't know where you was going with each show because it's not on EXO Tour Live. And then you went Hunger Games, which is his own song. And
But my answer is Rambo with Bryson Tiller. That's a good one. Oh my gosh, my picture just fell off the wall.
you're getting fed up. All right, let me tally these points up. Hang on.
No, but can you like give me some credit for my brain tripping? Like, just give me some slack, bro. My brain is all over the place right now. I'm so scared. No.
Okay, are you ready for your score?
Sure.
Out of 60, how many do you think you got first?
Like 20. Less than 20? 10.
You got 14.
14 out of 60. How? Is it by most popular answer?
It is
That's
like
not
these.
fair, bro. I was going by my answer. Man, I don't like Family Feud. Let's restart. Let's do it again. Just kidding. Just kidding, guys. Next season I'll do better.
We'll have the scoreboard up and see how you
I'm
did
gonna do
again.
the worst.
I guess.
Is there a prize for getting last place?
We'll give you a special shout out at the end of this season. But
Bro.
yeah, let's move on from that. And it's that time of the episode where we hand it over to you to let us know your top five EXO songs and why.
Okay, so I switched it up for this season. I chose all new ones. Because, I mean, I just feel like I was kind of repetitive and people don't want to see repetitiveness. So I chose five new ones for you guys. But before I say them, I do have to shout out Angel because this is my fave. So shout out Angel. I already shouted it out in the Family Feud and messed up my score. So yeah. So the first song, I kind of chose one from different eras of The Weeknd. So for 2015, we have Beauty Behind the Madness and Prisoner. I kind of already said that one too, but it's so underrated. It's so underrated. And it talks about, him being in this toxic era where he's almost trapped. So I love the progression of these songs because they kind of fit into each other. It's kind of why I chose them. And then from 2018, we got Mighty Melancholy and Hurt You. And that reveals the relationship arc of this whole story because we know there's some woman involved with all this trauma and breakup drama in his story. So that kind of reveals that. And it's really, really deep. My Dear Melancholy is so deep, so sad, so personal. So I like that. And then going into 2020, we got After Hours with Too Late and Faith. So Too Late. Kind of that isolation, right? Isolation moment in Too Late. Also shout out Illy Angelo for the beat of that song. It's so good. And then we got Faith, which is a self-struggle song. Kind of an ending, and there's a lot of visualization with that. And then lastly, we got 2025 with Hurry Up Tomorrow and Red Terror. That's the connection to the movie. We got the POV of his mom and the breakthrough, and he's finally getting to the other side. So those are my top five, just because putting, the end of the weekend, those are my top five for, showcasing the story from all his different eras. And also, I love all those songs, so it works out perfectly.
That is a very interesting top five. Completely skipped over Dawn FM and
I did, but I could only choose five, bro. I couldn't choose
I know
everything, so I just chose five.
that's what makes it all the more fun.
Right.
But anyways, Holly, thank you so much for being a part of EXO Takeover once again.
You're welcome.
That is it for this week's episode of EXO Takeover. Tune in next Sunday. More special guests, give more things, EXO. Hopefully, next guest will get more than 14 points. Who knows?
This is so bad. Please cut that out of this whole episode. Nobody needs to see me play Family Feud.
Yeah, we'll see you next Sunday, right here. You know where to find us.
Oh, wow.